Welcome to Artists Alive. This is a podcast where I interview people in the entertainment and media about their lives, careers, and projects. Today's guests, I'm going to keep a little secret for just a few seconds here, letting them introduce themselves. But they have a new show out. Their show is called Fight the Power, How Hip Hop Changed the World. And I was thinking they could introduce themselves, starting with you, Chuck D.
Yes. Hey, I'm Chuck D. A Public Enemy and of Fight the Power, the documentary, and proud to be here.
Thank you. Lori?
Hi, I'm Lori Bula, and I'm the co-creator and co-executive producer alongside Chuck D on Fight the Power, the docuseries.
Great. So briefly, if we could... If Chuck, if you could describe the synopsis of the show to my listeners.
Yeah, the synopsis of Fight the Power, four-part documentary on pretty much the history of hip-hop, but also the history that led hip-hop to be in the first place. It had socio-political beginnings that led it into a reflection of art and culture, of a society that was left with nothing and made something out of nothing to be a language and a cultural religion that goes around the world to this day. So Fight the Power, brilliantly put together by Lori Bula, who also brought a lot of creators, scholars, dignitaries who have been embedded into the art form of hip hop and rap music to speak highly of it and its influence. It culminated in this four-part series that we feel is probably one of the best explanations and visual elements to the art form. And so it gives that backdrop that pretty much has never been given in such detail before.
How did the show come to be? Where was the idea coming from?
The idea came from Chuck and I had many conversations about the importance of hip hop. And it somehow, as hip hop has become more and more popular and mainstream, the messaging of the importance of hip hop and many of these stories got lost. And hip hop is still very much, it's still very much an art, not only an art form, and even though it's become popular music, it's still speaking truth to power all around the globe. And we really wanted to touch on those stories of the origin of it, as Chuck mentioned, of the socioeconomics and the politics, but the politics all the way up through 2020. So we end the fourth episode ends, talking about the Black Lives Matter movement and uprising, because these are all things that are important, and hip hop has been the soundtrack to these really important seminal moments.
You're both, producers for Fight the Power. Was there any issue or a problem you stumbled upon while doing the show, doing the documentary? Any type of how we're going to piece this together? Any interview?
I think the only problem we had was trying to encapsulate, 50 years of amazing music that has really, shaped culture, and how we captured that in only 4 hours of episodes. And certainly I'm really proud of the show that we made, and we touch on really great musical moments and really important historical moments, but there's still many songs that we weren't able to cover in the 4 hours. To me, that was the only sort of frustration.
Chuck, do you agree that it was difficult putting 50 years of music history, hip hop history, into one documentary?
Well, you're embedded into podcasting and radio and television. That's always the difficulty, but we don't call it difficulties. Those are issues that you have to pretty much get past to be able to create a concise story in the time that you have.
Was there anything you wish could have been in the documentary that just didn't, the time just didn't allow it?
Yeah, plenty of things you could always say that you could add to it, but like Lori said clearly, that would have came with more time and possibly sequels. I mean, I have favorites that like Wu-Tang Clan, but there's stories that that permeate society that is the cause and effect. You're talking about there's been thousands of artists, and we knocked it down to a concise program that will have somebody who might not even be interested in those that are well entrenched into the culture, be satisfied with the explanation.
Mm. Yeah, because hip hop and it's spreading across the world, starting from, you know, New York to the world, it is the influence. It's an influence on a lot of people, as you said, people who might not even be that interested in hip hop. It changes their lives too, because there are so many important messages in it. So I don't know if you're like familiar with how hip hop is in Europe or anything like that, like the UK.
Gustav, we're well-traveled, well-bred, know where you're broadcasting from. We probably even know your own backyard and the food that you're ready to order. So, yes, the most important word in the title, Fight the Power, How Hip Hop Changed the World, is world. And Laurie saw fit that we could tell this story. And this is why the combination of the BBC around the world and also PBS in the United States made this something we saw that would be fitting.
Mm. We talked about, you know, overcoming obstacles in the production. We talked about not really being able to fit things in due to time, but maybe, you know, there's always time for, you know, sequels and things like that. Going off of like what hip hop is today, obviously wouldn't be a thing without what it was in the past. But is there anything you'd like to give advice on, Jack, on to like a rapper today who has a message, who has a voice, who has something to give to the world, who has a message about a problem? What would you give advice on for someone starting out?
Learn the history. And that was one of the reasons for this documentary, is so that you learn that this is an art form. Learn art, learn the histories, and then you know that whatever you're doing is not so brand new, or that you're not doing it for the first time. The past, you know, helps make the present better understood and sets a path for the future. You want to tell any artist or anybody clamoring to be any professional. So if you say that you love something, you should learn about what you love thoroughly. And that's what this provides.
Because when it comes to hip hop or any kind of genre, but focusing on hip hop here, there's so much more than just the music. There's so much more than just the message. There's the fashion. There is a lot of things, like a lot of style in it. How do you think the importance is of what it looks like? Back then, would that influence the importance and spreading of hip hop today?
It's a chronological capturing of sight, sound, story, and style. That discusses the four elements of hip hop very clearly, from rapping, DJing, graffiti art, and MCing. And then you put knowledge to it, and then you have everything that pretty much is panoramic and delivering in a 360 degree understanding. And that's what this documentary does well.
Laurie, now yes. I've only seen the first episode, and it was, you know, the start of hip hop, late 60s, Southern Bronx, going on to the 70s.
Did you say Southern Bronx? Hey, Laurie.
Wasn't it Southern Bronx?
Laurie, that's the first time I ever heard it put that way, the Southern Bronx.
Yeah, I like
it. South Bronx. Is that the...
Yeah, but that's okay. You can call it Southern Bronx. We like it.
I'm sorry. I'm not American.
No, it's okay. We just
added a little, nice little elite touch to it. Kind of
it makes the South Bronx sound much nicer than it is even today, but I like it. Yeah, I like that. That's fun.
South Bronx. This is going in... I can use that for social media, that little, because of the trailers and stuff, promoting the episodes and stuff, that little cute part I can use. It started off in South Bronx. But for the other episodes, can you tell my listeners a bit about the other episodes? Are we going forward in time?
So we do go forward in time. So the show is not an exact, we did not follow every single artist, that was on purpose. Instead, we were talking about, so like in episode one, when that's, we show how it goes from block parties to Grandmaster Flash as the message. What we're showing is the, how hip hop becomes this revolutionary music that speaks truth to power. So it's actually kind of more about the songs and then the cultural flashpoints that it's speaking to, mm-hmm. like as in a call and response. So an episode, so the episodes do move forward in time. So episode two, we take you through New York in the 80s. We also take you to Los Angeles in the 80s, and both of which we're dealing with a lot of, and sadly we're still dealing with, but we're dealing with a lot of police brutality and racial injustice. And we talk about, again, specific songs and specific flashpoints in episode two. And then, like I said, it goes all the way through 2020. So then we get into the 90s and the 2000s between episode three and four. And you will see in later episodes, we have everyone from, you know, Grandmaster Caz and Melly Mel from Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five, and of course Chuck narrating and on screen, to Eminem, who comes into later episodes, because we really felt that he took a very strong political stance against Trump in 2016 and 2017, and we showed the music he created specifically for that. So like I said, so the show starts in the 60s and goes all the way through 2020.
Were everyone there to be able to do the interview, or did some people have to decline, or was there
some people weren't available because they were on tour, and that's mm-hmm. the nature of making a documentary. But we don't have one stinker in this cast. I mean, it's all, you know, A-list hip hop artists and academics and revolutionaries who are, you know, it's a solid group of people, from Rosa Clemente and Hawk Newsom to Nelson George, who are really, you know, part of the culture and can speak to it. I do want to touch on one thing. Even though the show, even as we're describing it, obviously hip hop was born in America. Mm-hmm. I just want to say that I think that this story will really speak to the Nordics, because, you know, these are songs that are loved by many people and known. And you're going to rethink these songs, because a lot of times the songs are written speaking directly to an issue that was happening in the community. Mm-hmm. That you may not know what the issue was. Like when mm-hmm. you watched the first episode, you may not have realized when you were listening to Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five, the message. You may have just thought it was a great song, but that's why we showed you what was really happening in the South Bronx. Mm-hmm. Like they were really speaking to the living conditions, or even with NWA, F the Police. I don't know if I can curse on this, but
yeah,
you know,
go for it.
Yeah, you know, when they're saying fuck the police, it's not just hyperbole at Los Angeles in that time, and you haven't seen that episode yet. You know, there were record numbers of police brutality, and again, sadly, that's still happening. But what we find is the police commissioner, Daryl Gates, at the time, you know, he clearly had some issues with Black folks and people of color in general. And he was very vocal about that in the press, and we show that. And he was the police chief at the time in the 80s when NWA were writing fuck the police. So they were speaking to what was happening in the community. And that's what we're trying to show you, is that these songs that you may know and love, whether it's Eminem or NWA or Public Enemy, these songs were written in context.
Yes. And then when you, as a person who haven't really been paying attention to just everything about the song, maybe I thought it was just a nice song, watching this documentary, or even, you know, Googling the song and Googling the artist and stuff, you get to learn so many different things that one might not have known otherwise. And, you know, I think, you know, obviously music is a reflection on art, and especially hip hop. It's a reflection on society. It's as an art form. It is, and things in society, different problems, but similar, you know, racial injustice, sexism, homophobia, all of these kinds of things will reflect on the art. But globally, I think it's quite interesting seeing that, you know, in the UK, they have their own, have had their issues. It's at the same time, like in the 70s, where they were fed up with their politicians, and then there was punk rock as a result of that. It's very much like
exactly. That's exactly right, Gustav. Sometimes you hear the song, you think it's a nice song, and then you do a deep dive with a show like this, and you realize it's really about an issue that people are speaking to directly.
I don't have that many questions left, but I just wanted to ask both of you, starting with you, Lori, if there is a specific thing while watching the episodes you want my listeners to reflect on.
Yeah, I really just like people to take in the importance of hip hop and whatever brought you to hip hop, whether it be, you know, Drake or Cardi B, realizing that hip hop is a much richer and a much more important art form. And that these songs a lot of times are, you know, speaking to these issues in the community, but are issues that are happening as well worldwide. So I just hope that people, you know, and that they discover some artists and do a deeper dive into hip hop music and culture.
Thanks. Chuck, what is your answer to the same question?
Yeah, the culture and the music has gone around the world. And whenever you can give a little explanation to why it is, because it is, it's always good. It's always good to learn about something that you say that you love and like.
So to all my listeners, I hope you've enjoyed this interview. The show is called Fight the Power, How Hip Hop Changed the World, and it's available on the new streaming service, BBC Nordic Plus. And I'm going to link everything in the description, wherever you find podcasts. And if you like the show, please give it a little follow, rate and review, and check me and my guests out on social media. I will have those links out as well. Thank you so much for your time, you guys.
Thank you.
Appreciate you. Thank you.